לכלו רחמך, ואמרכן כאילו שמו חס ודחו. It's very strange, a couple of lines. I've always had difficulty with this, these couple of lines. Let's go to my mother's door.
Of course, most kinds of Avishman after we don't really think about what we're saying.
Which is good, because I guess because we wouldn't understand a lot of what we're saying.
But occasionally we would like to try and understand why things are not repetitive. Hato ki lo cholu rachamecha v'hamerachem ki... Sorry. Ki lo samu chasodecha. It's a very strange thing, right? And here we have Hamrachain, which actually relates back to this, it's the same word, right? So the question is, how do we understand what these two lines are saying and why they're not repeating one another? And of course the question is based also why the word Rachamim and Rachain appears in both lines. The other words are not repeated, right? Tov, Tamu, Chasadecha, Kolu, they're not repeated. But this word, Rachamecha, is repeated afterwards, the next line, Hamrachain. Wow, what's the difference? Why is it repeated again? So in order to understand that, I tell you, when I'm about to say that sheer speculation might be absolute baloney, total hogwash, but you know, what? That's what we do in this class, we take risks, right? So therefore, we're going to take a risk on this one too. So I assume that the reason it's like Hatov is because this is the basic quality which we ascribe to God. Above all other qualities, what we ascribe to God, the main reason we're attacking him, is because he is good, right? So God is good.
Of course, there's an extra O in his name, so to speak.
Right, God, good. Good God. So I told you, Cholu Rachamecha. And what is the question, what does the word Cholu mean? So Cholu, how does he translate it? He says, the beneficent one, for your compassions were never exhausted. Well, that's how he translates. He says, Kalu is to exhaust. That means, it's not a good translation. The word in Hebrew, which it has to do with this word, Kilayon. Kilayon means to destroy, to eradicate, right? It's interesting, though, because the word Kilayon comes from the word Kala, which means to destroy, eradicate, right? Which also is the word?
Wife.
Right. It's not for wife, but the word for a bride.
A bride. What's the correlation?
Yeah, what's the correlation between destruction and bride? It's
supposed to be pro-marriage, right?
Yeah, well, it's Judaism, generally, we try to be pro-marriage, but all possible, right?
Oh, because you have to destroy yourself, so to speak, in order to eradicate itself, in order to...
It's not, as I was saying, but I don't think that that's the trap. So anyway, I think that in order to understand, we have to take off the hay, right? It's really both the word kol. And the word kol means... What does kol mean?
Wood?
No, that's for the cook. Kol means oh. So when we say something is kilayo, does it mean really that it's destroyed? No. And the article translation is not bad, actually, if you think about it. Because it means you've come to the end. Kol means you have everything. Something which reaches its kawa, its destruction, really means that it is completed, it's ended. But the article uses it as exhausted. A woman who is a kawa has come actually to her completion, meaning that now she has reached, you know, the plateau, the highest level of, accomplishment she's going to reach, which is to be married, and this is the level which of growth has come to a completion at this time. So therefore, also the kala is adorned in many different ways, much more adorned than any other woman, right? Whether she's younger or older, there's no other woman who is adorned as much jewelry, much makeup as a kala. So therefore, a kala is somebody who's reached a stage of perfection. There's reached a stage of perfection, which is a good thing, And the teacher stage of perfection, which is not really perfection, but rather completing everything and therefore ceasing. There's completion and from that completion continuing, and then there's completion and coming from that completion to an end. Right? So far so good? You with me here? You with me on this? Now, the word kol itself, which means everything, itself comes from another word. The word which comes from is also spelled kol, kaf lamed, but it has a measure, meaning which means measure. There's a verb, kol. This kol means, what's this, an adjective? All?
So it's adverb.
What? Well, overall.
Is an adverb.
Is an adverb? Is an adjective?
Either adjective or noun, I think.
I think it's an adjective. Yeah. As all the things.
Yeah.
That's an adjective, right?
Yeah.
So this is an adjective. As a verb, the same word means to measure. And when I measure everything out, then it's when I've reached the level of kol. I've completed measuring things. So I can measure everything and now I've reached perfection because everything is measured out. I can measure out things and now I've reached destruction because everything has been exhausted, the way the article translates it. So, Hatoki lochomu rachamecha can mean one of two things. It can mean, which are really both the same thing. The rachamim are never measured and never completed. They never come to completion. They're constantly going on, right? They're never measured, they're never completed, or as the article put it, they're never exhausted. There's always a store of more and more rachamim. What's rachamim? What is the rachamim?
Well, the root is racham, which is right, which is the womb.
Womb, right.
Which denotes unconditional giving.
No. Chesed, unconditional giving.
Conditional giving, right?
Conditional giving, right.
Okay.
Okay? So, Atoklachol means God never completes giving conditionally. He always has more to give, but it's conditional giving. It's fine. I don't know if conditional giving is the best word terminology to use. What it means is that if I give you because you're poor, I give you money because you're poor, that's rachamim. If I give you money despite the fact that you're rich, that's chesed. Right? In one case, I'm giving because you provoked my mercy. If I have mercy or pity upon you, that's considered to be rachamim. In the other case, where I'm giving regardless of whether you deserve it or not, I'm giving because it's my nature to give and I want to give, that's called chesed. So conditional giving or mercy is rachamim. And chasad echa is unconditional giving, also known in English as kindness. If I'm a kind person, I'm kind regardless of who I'm dealing with. Even when the person is a tremendously poor person, or a tremendously rich person, a person with great merit, or the person is a louse, if I'm kind, so I'm going to be kind to them no matter what. If my kindness or my favor is only bestowed because of my mercy, so if a person's poor, so they have mercy. If he's rich, they'll have no mercy. If a person's righteous, they'll have mercy. If a person's cruel, they don't have no mercy. So mercy is conditioned on recipients. The kindness is not conditioned on the recipient. That's why the highest form of stuff in the Ramamait is stuff where you don't know the recipient. Because if you know the recipient, then it's really rachamim. You're the cause provoked your mercy, you're giving as a result. It's not something in you, it's something in them. Whereas if you're giving without knowing the person to whom you're giving, that person may be, you know, in fact, somebody who normally you might not give to, right? But you're giving because you want to give. So that's how I level of giving stuff. Chavur
Kadesha.
Excuse me?
Chavur Kadesha.
Right, because they give no matter who the person is, right? Whether he's a great, pious person or a thinker.
And they can't.
Right, well, that's a separate thing, right? Besides that.
I mean, it's just with God. I mean, I'm not saying that's right. Another thing.
It's a chesed, and it's called chesed shel emet because they're not going to get any, there's no reciprocity either. It's not just
Now that it will take into account whether that person merits it or not, but they also don't expect to get, they do not get anything in, what's called, in return. Okay, so now we say God is good, and therefore there is never measured or completed his rachamim. So what is his rachamim? Well, rachamim means, when I merit it, right? Somebody who's good, he doesn't give because I merit it. If he's good, so he gives because he's good. Right? I would expect it to say, Hatol kilo, whatever verb I use, cholu, chasodecho. Right? Because tov is unconditional good, and chesed is unconditional giving. It here says, Hatol kilo cholu rachamecho. Because God is good, so therefore, his supply of mercy is not exhausted. And then we say, because God is merciful, so as a result, his unconditional giving is not time. This is what I'm asking. If the source of the good is the person's good, or God's good in and of itself, so it has nothing to do with the rachamim, which is provoked. It has nothing to do with provoking mercy. It has to do with God's giving because he's a giver. So in that case, the word I expected to find over there, the first one is chasadecha, right? God gives because he's good, regardless of whether we have merit or we provoke mercy or don't have merit and don't provoke mercy. And conversing the second line, I would expect to see Hamarachim, he who has mercy, he will sarvo rachamecha. Right? Because there is no time when God's mercy is not provoked. Yet in the first line it says rachamecha, and the second line it says chasadecha. You see what's bothering me? Yes? No? Maybe? No?
Yeah.
Don't you bother me? Okay. Well, again, let's try it. You see what's bothering me? So far, only one person. You see what's bothering me? What?
I understand that. Did you think that some words would, you think that the word would be switched, or one word would go with the other word, and that actually would be the other word?
Right.
Although I have to get one more time.
Okay, listen. If somebody's good, why are they giving somebody else? Because because they have mercy?
Right.
No, because they're good. I'm a good man. I like giving people, right? I don't care if you deserve my mercy or not. I'm good. I give. That's the definition of good. The word which is associated with giving without trying to take into account who you are and what you represent is chesed. Right? Chesed is a good translation for chesed, probably is compassion, as opposed to kindness. Right? Maybe not. Actually, I take that back. Compassion does have something to do with mercy. I take that back. Anyway, so kindness is the best translation I have so far. So fine. So a person who's kind, he gives no matter what. Whether the guy in front of him is somebody who provokes his mercy, the guy in front of him is somebody who's a jerk. He still gives, right? That's called chesed. So a tov gives chesed. But here it says a tov gives rachamim. What's rachamim? Mercy. Mercy takes into account. Or pity. Whatever. It takes into account the person who's standing in front of me, whether he is a pitiful person or not a pitiful person. That's already with some sort of reckoning, what's going on. It's got to provoke within me some sense of an imbalance which I have to right. Not because I'm good, but because I feel there's an equilibrium, a balance which is awry, and I want to return things to the equilibrium, return things to the proper balance. That's what a person does who has a rachamim. Fine! So such a person, his rachamim never ceases. It should be a merachem ki lo tamu rachamecho. Right? Since you're a merachem, so you're always merachem. Since you're tov, you always do chasodim. Since you're a merachem, merachem, so you do rachamim. But shouldn't be since you're tov, you do rachamim. And since you are merachem, you do chasodim, it's backwards. Okay? Now make sense? Fine. I don't necessarily have a good answer. I told you, I have problems with this all the time. You have an answer you
want
to say?
No.
Okay. So there's one other word which we haven't dealt with here, which is the word tam means. So tam also means, how do you translate it?
Should be completed, right?
The science have never ended. Okay, that's not bad. What does tam mean?
The word tam. What does it mean?
being renewed.
It means that complete.
Complete.
What else?
Innocent. A person who's innocent is a tach. A tach who hasn't gored three times is called a tach. An ox who has gored three times is called a muah, right? Somebody who's already, assumed to be a goring cow, right? A goring ox. So tam is an innocent.
Or is default. It's not
what?
Temple.
Tam is also temple. Where do we have that?
Okay, let's find the fourth time.
What?
The fourth time.
Fourth times, right.
Yeah.
Yaakov each time would seem to be more... It matches into all three categories. But it seems to be that also falls more in the category of complete. Right? So we're talking about, well, all these three things have similarities. The three things are similarities in that they are uncomplicated. Right? Complete means the thing is complete. It's not parts and particles. It's complete. It's a totality. Tam is something which is innocent, also something which is whole, complete. Hasn't yet been jaded, burnt. It's something which is whole and complete. And of course, something which is simple is also something which is non-complex. Right? So therefore, all these things come to also mean complete, like we had over here, never measured completed, but we had this completion means that they never reached it, we never got to the level of all, right? Here we never got the level where everything is just, I should say, what I'm looking for is probably seamless.
I don't know if that's a good word, actually.
Something which is innocent, complete, and simple, it would be, that was a better word than seamless for me. Something has like no opening. Interrupted is the opposite. So it's interrupted is not simple, innocent, and
uninterrupted.
What?
Uninterrupted.
Yeah, I would say like this. I would say, well, you hear a comment to have a negative connotation, not a positive connotation. Usually nobody has a positive connotation, right? But here it means they were not closed off. Also, what's the metaphor? Imagine that this is chesed, right? If there's a layer around it, then that layer around it is tam. It's sealed, right? It's complete. It's whole. It's simple. There has to be an opening in order for the chesed to come out. So it's not, the layer around it is not complete and holding it in and barring it from coming out. The layer around it is penetrated. It's not closed off. In other words, the chesed always comes out. Is that clear? So, you see what I'm saying so far? Any idea, am I losing you? So, a time, again, time, think of a time, time is something which is simple, whole, uncomplicated, right? So that's like a closed ball. A ball is simple, it's whole, it's uncomplicated. That's bad in our situation. Because that means if you put the chesed inside a ball, it would be sealed in. Frozen inside the ball, right? So therefore the ball has to be open. So far so good? Okay. So now, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is what I'm going to do. I don't know if, again, I tell you, I don't know if this works. This might be a bunch of baloney. You ready? Do you have your baloney monitors on? Okay, good. Now, this is what I'm going to try to do. core of why God created the world, or how God creates the world, is because he's tov, he's good, and he wants to do chesed. He wants to give, he's kind. He's good, therefore he's kind, and he wants to give. Surrounding that giving is rachamim. Rachamim almost conceals the giving. How so? Because in this world, we don't get complete chesed. Why don't we get chesed? Because we do mitzvahs. So rachamim actually is not, when we talk about rachamim, rachamim is somewhat chesed and somewhat din. It's somewhat giving, but somewhat judging. If I have, again, going back to my motion from before, if I have somebody in front of me who's a very poor person, and he's a righteous person, so then I have rachamim on that person. Because it's of course I have rachamim on it. If I have somebody in front of me who is a poor person, but he's a jerk, an evil, nasty, bad person, so then I'm not supposed to have rachamim on him. There has to be some merit. There has to be some worthiness, which is the din, the judgment, in order to be rachamim. That's what Chazal say. The rabbis say, "Kol merachim al hazorim." Anybody who's rachamim on cruel people, l'stof nase achzol l'rachmonim, eventually becomes a cruel person to people who are merciful people. What does it mean? I can do chesed to an hazor. If I have somebody who's a cruel person, I can do him a chesed. Whatever chesed it is, I can feed him, I can clothe him, I can bury him, whatever I can do chesed. But that is assuming that it doesn't provoke, that this act or this cruel person doesn't provoke any pity in me. That way, my value system is not corrupted. But if I can take pity on a cruel person, there's something very wrong with me. It's not that I can't do good stuff for him. I should be able to do good stuff for him, because I'm a good person. But he shouldn't find pity in my life. I shouldn't be have mercy towards him. Because that means my system is somehow corrupt. You see that?
But I thought the qualities of a Jew, one of the qualities is to be merciful even to your enemy. When you're in Muhammad, you're able to be merciful on someone.
Assumption that some merit for that. That's why it says by a Amalek, for example, right? You're supposed to eradicate them, right? Destroy them?
Right.
Oh, that's what?
No, they do chew and
they do what?
They can burn.
No, no. What has to do with form chuva? Come on, what does the guy have to do with chuva?
I don't know.
It's the seven commands, right? The seven Noahide commands, right?
Yeah.
So as the Ram says, if the Amalek accepts upon himself the seven Noahide commands, right? So you leave them alone. You can have Rachmanis on them at that point. But what happens if they don't accept the seven Noahide commands? And same thing with the people of the Canaan before the Jews came here. If they don't accept the seven Noahide commands, what do you do with them? Smite them down dead. Why do you smite them down dead? Because they're evil. Hi, you have mercy on them? Some of them is messed up with you. That's what Hashem said to Shol, right? Shol came back with a goat alive, and the sheep, and the cattle, and he said...
And women, didn't he?
He didn't come back with women. Uh-huh. Name it. So Hashem said, why? So he said, I couldn't do it. So Hashem said to him, Shlomo HaMelech, says that Shol, I'll be tzaddik, Harry, don't be such a big tzaddik. To be such a big tzaddik like you, there's something warped about it. Why? Because you were doing it because he provoked pity by you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. A God is supposed to be held by you as being the epitome of evil, the most despicable lowlife in the world. And if he caused you took pity upon him, there's something wrong with your value system. Now again, it could be chesed you can do, but not to take pity.
Pity is something else altogether.
So far so good? Same thing? So now what happens is like this. core is Hashem is good. Hashem does chesed, right? But the way the chesed takes place in this world is through rachamim. Now originally what was supposed to be over here, we know, is that originally it's supposed to be completely what? Says God created the world initially with what attributes? Din, right? It was supposed to be complete judgment. But what did God do? He saw that that can't work. So therefore what did he do? He brought rachamim together, mercy together with din, right? By the way, which would be, now that we see this,
which Hashem combined the two in the end.
Now, which is more, which implies more chesed? Din or rachamim?
Din.
Right. Right. How is it closer? Now, that's true, the way I drew it, but how is it closer to chesed? Why is din closer to chesed?
It's not conditional.
Well, it is conditional, sort of. It's good.
No, but it has the same attribute as chesed in the sense that whether someone's poor or rich, he still gets the same din. The judge isn't supposed to find favor in the litigants, depending on their social status, or if he's poor, or...
Right. But pure justice, right?
Yeah, pure justice.
So what you're saying is like this, is that any type of rachamim has some inherent falsehood in it. How so? It's not for science.
It's not
eminence. Right, it's not eminence, right. Yeah. It's not true. Because rachamim means there's something which I'm willing to give, even though this person doesn't necessarily deserve it, because you provoke my pity. I'm not thinking about whether he deserves it or not. No, I don't know if he deserves it or not. But I feel bad for him. In other words, this poor guy walking down the street, he's bent over, he's suffering, and I want to give him a dollar, right? Maybe he's suffering because he's an evil person. How do I know he's not an evil person? Or maybe he's suffering because he's trying to have some sin to atone for. It's not my business, obviously. I'm supposed to have rachamim. But the point of rachamim is not really, rachamim is not precise. It's not necessarily true. It's a reaction which is an emotional reaction, not a deliberate reaction, and not necessarily a true reaction. So therefore, what's more in line with chesed is to give a person according to what he deserves. To give chesed means that I'm kind. And the ultimate kindness is to give a person what they deserve, not what makes you feel better. Because your pity is provoked for what's good for that person and what they deserve. That's how we say that Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he bestows good upon people, he wants to bestow good upon people, I do this, but he wants to bestow good on people because they merit it. Because they do mitzvot. So what does it mean that they do mitzvot? That means that they now are deserving of Hashem's chesed because they did something which is powerfully good. So therefore, the good wants to give to the other good. But if they're not doing mitzvos, right? Or if they're not doing enough mitzvos, and I give them, that's rachamim, it's a good thing, but it's not higher my dream of giving somebody because they deserve it. Because they're good, like you're good, and therefore you connect to them. So really, where Hashem wanted the world to be created is they wanted the world to be a world of din. And the soul would be expressed through justice. Because how is it just? How is your good just? Or I was just good, because goodness means I give you something which is legitimately good. What is legitimately good? Something you're going to feel good about. How are you going to feel good about something? So the rabbi said, King David said, if you eat what you earn, then it's good for you, you feel good about it. So Hashem said, I'm going to create the world where everybody gets what they deserve. And that's the ultimate good because they feel good about it. Ideally speaking, a person who goes on welfare is supposed to feel miserable about it. They're supposed to feel really, really depressed. Why? Because they're not getting what they deserve. They're getting a gift. Sorry, my point of view. A gift is a gift they're supposed to detest. But people have pretty much been able to overcome that feeling. and taste no matter what. But the idea is that I once myself, when I was when we first started Kelos, I once went I once went after first child was born to the WIC office. You know what WIC is? WIC is welfare, right? Women, infants, and children. It's like, I know, not welfare, whatever. It's a program for what? Right.
For children.
So I never went back again.
Public service.
What? I never went back again. I felt, you know, it's true, you know, like it's a free benefit, right? But I felt so low. I felt, you know, this is clearly, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a foolishness on my part, but I never went back again because I felt that this is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be going and getting from society when I'm not contributing to society. Now, if somebody wants to pay me a salary for sitting and learning, it's a wonderful thing. I'm very happy to accept the salary because then I'm ostensibly I'm doing something for that person. But to go and take, you know, something for nothing, it's very embarrassing, right? Just because I exist is a very embarrassing thing. So therefore, if I give to somebody and they don't deserve it, in essence, for that person it should be embarrassing. If somebody comes to request money of me, he should be embarrassed. It happens to be, as I said, many people, they're embarrassed the first 50 times, but then when it comes to the 51st time, it goes much quicker. Those are people who are the professional snorers, right? They're able to go out and raise money, you know, whether it's for a worthy cause or not for a worthy cause, but they can raise the money because they're not embarrassed. But a person's supposed to be embarrassed. A person's supposed to feel, oh, I'm taking, even though I don't deserve it. But Hashem has to make the world that way. Because Hashem saw that he can't have a world in which everybody gets exactly according to what they do, because that's a problem. Because people are not doing so well. So therefore Hashem included the meat of rachamim. What's the meat of rachamim? The meat of rachamim means, you know what? You do a little bit. You make yourself somewhat worthy. I'll have pity upon you and I'll give you anyway, even though you don't fully deserve it. That's where Hashem made the world, right?
Wait,
it's only if I do a mitzvah. Rachamim means, let's say I do one mitzvah, I'm going to get rewarded if I did five mitzvahs.
So rachamim didn't come at
all. That's not chesed.
It's 4 out of 5 is chesed.
No. For none of it is chesed.
Well, no, if you do one mitzvah, you should get the reward for one mitzvah.
That would be din, and that would be chesed.
Right. Well,
sorry, I mean,
4 out of 5 is
rachamim. Right.
Yeah.
Right. One of them is din and 4 rachamim, right?
Right.
So which is the one which is chesed?
One.
The one, right. The other 4 are because I took pity on you. Not because I'm good, not because of my chesed. That could come too. We'll come to that. But right now, it's coming, the pashtus is, if I do one mitzvah, God gives me reward as if I did 5, so that's rachamim. Hashem feels bad for me, so therefore he takes the one mitzvah I did, and he amplifies it and makes it into 5. If I do one mitzvah, and God gives me in reciprocates that, that's not rachamim. I deserve it. That's chesed. Because God set up a system in which he's going to give to us in return for our avodas Hashem. Because in that system, it's the ultimate good, because it's not just that I'm getting something, but I'm getting something because I deserve it.
So chesed is not the earned.
Chesed is unearned. Chesed is either unearned altogether, or earned but not beyond the letter of the law.
To say a law, but to rachamim is to say law. If I were to put historical chronology to the manifestation of such things in the world, maybe the world before it left it in, but there being a world now that this world is one of rachamim, of chesed and din. But from Avraham is rachamim through to where there's mitzvahs entering the world.
Avraham is chesed.
Avraham is chesed.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
Avraham gave to everybody, right? Whether they were Jews or Arabs, it didn't matter. He gave to everybody.
So Sinai is rachamim.
What?
So from Sinai would be rachamim.
Sinai?
Would be earned, where things are clearly earned in a fashion that are not...
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Sinai would be rachamim. That's what he says. Hashem punishes the 4th generation and rewards the 2,000th generation.
And that's a meaningful chronology if we were to say from... Now, this part where we get 974 generations is from the covenant of 1,000 generations. And when we place Adam HaRishon and 970.
Sure, but why have to look at this question?
Because if they, no, they may end up publishing what else.
Okay. So in any event, in this case over here, so what I want to say is this. When you say Atos Shilo Kol Racham Necha, means that God is good, and therefore God good means he's always going to be Merachim. There's always going to be Rachmanis. Why? Because there's some people who after a while they just can't take it anymore, right? 500 beggars come to your door, right? And knock on your door, the 501st one you're going to throw out his ear. Rachamim only goes so far. At that point, you can't have mercy anymore. You feel put upon, you feel annoyed, you feel that this is a burden, and you throw it off, right? So therefore, Hashem is Tov. What does Tov mean? It means he's never going to limit, measure, or complete, or limit, is probably the best word I would use here. He's never going to limit his rachamim. Why? Because he's always has that goodness underlying it. Since there's always that goodness underlying the rachamim, he's always going to have rachamim. But it's got to work the other way as well. That the rachamim, if the rachamim was just pity, then we'd be bad for us. Just like it's bad to give a beggar money. You know what's bad to give a beggar money? Why is it bad to give a beggar money?
He'll keep asking.
Why? Because he's not doing anything.
He'll be dependent, right. He's not doing anything. He'll keep asking. He'll become dependent on your largesse. He won't be able to stand on his own two feet,
no, but
right?
It's better to give him so that he can get maybe get a job, right?
True, but that's usually most people don't give him enough money to go to college.
So you're saying it's worse to give him money than not to?
Yeah, sure.
So it's better to start.
What?
He'll start.
It's better to give him a way that, in a way that will help him, not
yeah.
randomly
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's forcing me to give money not to serve. That's something else. But say, now, let's say he's not starving, but he's poor.
Oh.
So actually, it's not to be understood that was the whole principle of was it Clinton's back to work policy. Who was the one brought that in? Reagan or Clinton? I forget who it was already.
Clinton had some thing.
What? So the idea is if you keep a person dependent on welfare, so then it's not good for them, right? If you constantly pity a person and say, oh, take more money. That's not training them to be significant people. It's training them to be dependent people, right? So rachamim, on the other hand, is not always good. It's not always good. But rachamim, therefore, has to not conceal, so to speak, the chesed, right? The chesed has never been completely barred by rachamim. Right? You can imagine that yes, rachamim is a wonderful thing. But sometimes if rachamim were completely, instead of allowing there to be a line of chesed, so to speak, would completely cover
cover is a better word than cover.
Insulate. Completely insulate the chesed. So then, the rachamim wouldn't necessarily be good for us. Because that would mean, yes, Hashem feels bad for us. And he does us all sorts of good stuff because he feels bad for us, but we will never achieve our goal in this world of being who we're supposed to be and developing ourselves. We'll just be dependent on God all the time. The idea of being a tzelem Elohim, of being created in the resemblance to God, is that we should be able to be God-like divine people ourselves. So therefore, the rachamim could be a contradiction to the chesed. It could be chesed dictates that Hashem should not give us at this point. Because if he gives us, then we're going to become dependent, we're not going to develop, we're not going to realize that we have a role, we're just going to be passive. So therefore, Hashem says, no. It's true that I have rachmanis on you. Of course. I'm good, so therefore I have rachmonis. Now that, my rachmonis never stops because I'm good. I'm always patient. And erech hapayim, we say about God. He's patient, he's tolerant, he goes along with us, right? But on the other hand, it's possible to have rachmonis without chesed. Meaning that I'm not really interested in your good. Frankly, I'm going to care less about your good. You make me feel bad, here's a dollar, go away. You make me feel bad, here's $10, go away. It was without the chesed, without the goodness behind it, rachamim also can be a very dangerous thing. So therefore, what we're saying to Hashem is, your tov and therefore your rachamim are never limited. You're never going to sit down and say, enough! Too many beggars today. Right? I'll give it again. I'm constantly involved, and somebody else comes and wants rachamim, they'll get a rachamim as well. But on the other hand, the fact that Hashem is merachem could mean that he's never going to give us what's well, really good for us. We're provoking his pity. We're asking for his mercy. But sometimes we need to have something else, which might not even be that which, generally speaking, you know, is would seem to somebody to be merciful. For example, analogy says to me, let's say a kid comes to a teacher and says, listen, teacher, have pity on me. Please, I have no clue how to answer the questions on the test today. Can you please give me all the answers? Right? And he'll cry bitter, bitter tears. And, you know, he'll provoke lots of pity by the teacher. So what does the teacher do? You know, he shouldn't. But what does the teacher do? Give him the answers. Right? That's Rachmanis. So Rachmanis' case. He doesn't know the answers. He's dumb. You should give him the answers, right? But then, is that good for the person? No. Because ultimately, if you give him the answers to the test, so then he's never going to grow. He's never going to become capable of doing stuff on his own. So therefore, we have to say, yes, Hashem is rachamim. But his rachamim don't contradict the underlying chesed. Because what's more significant? What would be more important for this kid? Not to give him the answers. So therefore, Hashem says, you know what, yes, I have rachamim, but there are limits. Because of my chesed, there are limits to my rachamim.
So, are you saying that the difference is that, in other words, that chesed is like a constant supply, constant giving, regardless of the recipient?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, not usual for the teacher to give the students the answers. He gives everyone the same test, that's chesed. If you have someone who's rich and we're poor, you give them the same amount. But rachamim takes into account each individual. And so depending on if you're looking at it in terms of, like, it depends on which angle you're looking at it, could determine what's better in each case, rachamim or chesed. In the case where someone's deserving, more needs more, say someone needs money, you know, very badly, something, you know, unusual, and that would be rachamim.
Right. But listen,
yeah.
Well, it is that further. It's true. But ultimately, in certain situations, what would chesed be? To not give.
Why?
Okay. Because if I'm interested in really being good to somebody else, sometimes that requires being. It means that if you're a bad person, I'm going to give you a
power. Yeah, but that's putting limits on your chesed should be...
That's also giving, though.
I was putting limits, but putting limits is data and rachamim.
Because you're giving him what he needs at that point in time.
But that's rachamim.
No. Rachamim is not you're giving what he needs. You're giving because your pity has been provoked. Not because you want to give, but because this guy has made you feel guilty.
So chesed kind of means because you want to give or what he needs?
And that's also a form of giving.
Right.
Okay. That's a form of giving which is not, unlike rachamim, comes from my wanting to do what's good for that person. Right? Rachamim doesn't come from my, again, I want to repeat this because it's a very subtle point, and perhaps I'm not even making it clearly. Rachamim does nothing to do with what's good for that person. Right? If I give a person a welfare check, or it might be very bad for that person. But I feel bad for him, so I give him the welfare check. It might be counterproductive for that person. Because if I didn't give him the welfare check, he'd get out and go out and get a job. But I'm giving the welfare check anyway because I have pity on him. Because society has pity on him, right? That's not what's good. What's good? Chesed. Chesed is one of two manifestations. Chesed is giving without knowing any merit or demerit for the person, which is only possible really if I don't know who he is. Like the Rambam says, I have no clue who the recipient is. Or it's giving that person what's good for them. Not what makes me feel good about it. What's for good for them. So what's good for them? Sometimes it's judgment which is good for them. Sometimes not giving them is giving because that's good for them.
So another way to explain the two, that rachamim only takes into account the physical well-being, whereas chesed takes it a step further and looks at the spiritual.
Right. It's one way of looking at it. I want to take it another step further, which is rachamim goes by what you think is good for you. Because you think, you're a little kid. You think it's good to get gifts, right? You like lollipops. It's good for you to have lollipops, then you're going to get fat. Right? See? Too many lollipops. So it's not actually lollipops. But anyway, whatever it is. So I give you a lollipop, but Rachmanis, and you have a lollipop, right? Is that good for you? So it might be, but probably not good for you to have too many lollipops, right? So therefore, chesed actually in that case would be not to give you the lollipop, but rather, if I know who you are, and I know that you can get back, if I don't see you, so then I should give as many lollipops as I possibly can. If I know who you are, I should give lollipop, 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 because that would be a manifestation of my chesed. But if I know you, and I see that you're getting fat, so chesed would be not to give you lollipops. If then you cry and you say, yes, I want a lollipop, I don't care about being fat, I want a lollipop, right? And then I give you anyway, so that's Rachmanis. I have pity upon you because you're crying. It's not necessarily good for you, but I have Rachmanis on you. So we ask Hashem to have Rachmanis on us. The thing is, listen, God, you obviously know what's good for us and what's not good for us. But we know what we want and what we don't want. And can you please give us what we want? And hopefully that'll be okay, because like we say to Hashem at the end of Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Birchas HaKodesh, Shimali Hashem Mishalos Libeinu L'Tova. Give us what we want, just make sure it's good for us. That's what we're asking God. In other words, He wanted to cover all bases for us. So that's the idea. We ask for Hashem's Rachamim, because we're asking Hashem for what we think is good for us, what we want for ourselves. So therefore, again, what we say is, Hashem is Tov. Right? He's good. And since He's good, He never stops. He never limits the Rachamim which He gives. Even if you come to Him for the 100 times, the 200 times, doesn't kick you and throw you out the door, listen to what you have to say. But on the other hand, Rachamim, without chesed underlying it, is not good either. Because then you'll get too many lollipops, so to speak, even though you're going to get fat as a result. So therefore, everything has to be underlined with chesed. Chesed means to do things because they're good for me. And that's why sometimes din is also part of chesed. Because din means, yes, I want to do good for you, but I have to assess what's good for you in order to do it properly. That's why din can be an outcome, or I shouldn't say outcome, a component of chesed. And that's what you say, I'm rachim, yes, you have rachamim, but not just because we quite the lollipops and never you give us lollipops, but also you're concerned that ultimately things are going to work out for our benefit as well. So I'm rachim, kilosamu chasadecha, you don't allow your chesed to be sealed off by your rachamim, so to speak, right? That should be completely covered, as if it's innocent, as if it's not permeated, but rather the chesed comes through. And Hashem's rachamim, that it also should not just be what we want, but also good for us as well. Okay, as I said, it's only, it might be a bunch of hogwash, no guarantee. Hey, this has any truth and validity to it, but the main thing is that we enjoy doing it. Okay, have a good afternoon.